rivals a great deal tonight. We're going to actually do a bit of teaching tonight. It'll not be the usual type of sermon on Sunday night. I want to leave you with some thoughts tonight on this subject. Gray hairs are here and there. Or, if you care to, you could call it infancy or babyhood, maturity, and old age. I think I'll call the sermon, Gray Hairs Are Here and There. The writer Hosea said that in Israel there were gray hairs here and there, but Israel knew it not. All of us remember, many of us remember the day we first spotted that little gray one there. One of the fellows came to me after the service this morning and said, "How did you know I've been trying to get something to get my color back in my hair?" Of course, the color he has, I'd rather have gray. But anyway, Israel, said Hosea, has gray hair, but she doesn't know she has gray hair. A gray hair, or gray hairs, are here and there. Listen carefully. There are three types of Christians, I think, in the world. Spiritual ages. Infancy, or babyhood. Maturity, and old age. Only one of those is desirable, and that is maturity. As a person, when a person is born again, he becomes a babe in Christ. Now listen to this first, and then you'll have the foundation for the entire message. If you miss this, you'll miss the entire message. A person is born again, he becomes a babe in Christ. Now God wants him to grow. He does not want him to age. Did you hear me? God says grow in grace. He never says age in grace. He wants spiritual growth until we attain maturity. The word in the Bible is called perfect. Over and over again in the Bible, we're admonished to be the perfect man. Now, the word perfect in the Bible does not mean without sin. It is a word. And I won't go into the Greek, though I could, and most of these fellows on the platform be able to follow me. It's a word that has to do with completely finished. It comes from a word that means end. It means that a person grows in every area of his life to complete maturity. For example, a perfect body has, according to the Bible, the term for perfect, a perfect body would have two arms, two hands, 10 fingers, 2 legs, 2 feet, 10 toes. Every member of the body is present, and every member of the body is developed. Now, let's take our deaf friends back here, and God bless them. They're not perfect physically. It means they're not complete. There's something missing. Let's take our blind members. They're not complete physically. There's something missing. Now, what God is saying is this. He wants every Christian to grow in grace until he becomes a complete person. Now, here's the tragedy or the danger. As a person grows, here's a baby in Christ, he begins to grow in grace. So he gets bigger and bigger, but he gets older. Now, that's the danger. God doesn't want us to have any gray hairs. God wants us to grow, but not to age. Now, as a Christian grows in grace, he can grow too much until he outgrows some things that are necessary for maturity. Let me see if I can illustrate here. I'm not going to do this a lot, fellas, but I'd like to use all five of you tonight. I want you to get on either side of the Lord's Supper table, if you would, and I want to use you as an illustration tonight. I promise not to do this a great deal. All the way down to the bottom. That's right. Now I'm going to let each one of these, face me. I'm going to let each one of these fellows represent a part of the Christian life. All five of these fellows, total, sum total, represent the Christian. Let's let Brother Beebe represent Bible study. Brother Colston represent prayer. Dr. Billings represent soul winning. Cal Streeter represent the Christian graces of love and the fruit of the Spirit. And C.W. Fisk can represent church, church attendance, we'll say. All right, Bible study, prayer, soul winning, Christian graces, and church attendance. Now, let's say that there are other areas of the Christian life, but let's say these are the only five. Now, to be a complete man and grow in grace properly, all five have to grow together. You see? So step up one step, fellas. Now then, that is the normal growth. God wants you to grow in Bible study. He wants you to grow in prayer. He wants you to grow in soul winning. He wants you to grow in the graces. He wants you to grow in church attendance and in every other area of the Christian life. Now notice this. They're growing in grace. Or this Christian is growing in grace. Now step up again. They're still growing. But notice it's a complete growth. It's a mature growth. It's not tilted. It's not lopsided. It's not that he's a great soul winner but doesn't know the Bible. It's not that he's a great prayer warrior but never wins a soul to Christ. It's not that he's sweet and kind but never does go to church. It's not that he goes to church all the time but doesn't read the Bible and pray. It's not that he reads the Bible all the time but doesn't pray and win souls. You see, it's the perfect man, the complete growth in grace. Now then, here, they're growing in grace. Say, aren't you having a big time in the Lord? But here's what happens to the Christian. The Christian says, you know, I think I need more Bible. Now, wait a minute. That's the devil wants to get you off on one of them. He wants to get you off on, if he can get you to grow and become a giant in one field, but keep you from maturing in every field, he's got you a perverted Christian. And what you're doing is you're aging and not growing. You see? Now, so, hey, he says, I think I'm going to take some Bible courses because I'm not getting as much Bible as I think I want. No, but you're getting all you need. If you're getting enough Bible to keep these other fellows growing, you're getting enough Bible. You see? That's the secret. If you keep these other fellows growing, you're getting enough. But you say, no, I'm going to take some Bible courses. I'm going to take my soul winning night, take a night evening Bible course. So step up their Bible course. But notice, the other fellows didn't grow. You see? And then he says, listen, I tell you what, I like the deep things. I like these types. I like to find this. The beast and the toe on the beast and the toenail on the toe and the, what kind of polish is on the nail. And so he steps up and he grows some more. But notice he's not a well-rounded Christian. He's no longer growing, he's aging. You see, he's tilted. He's not the complete Christian. He's not the complete person. But he's becoming a great Bible student. Now what happens? This fellow goes back down. Why? Because he used up his time. You see? And before, now this fellow, he may stay where he is. But, by the way, he won't need this fellow at the end anymore because he's going to Bible classes three nights a week and he won't need the church anymore, so he steps back down. And he just goes and the preacher's preaching a special sermon, or he may just tour the area and visit whatever preacher happens to be preaching in town that week. Or, after all, I can be as good a Christian at home as I can in church, and before you know it, this fellow, now you see, we have this, but he's still growing the Bible. Well, he's got a great Bible scholar. In fact, not only is he going to night classes, but he's having daytime classes in homes all over the area. So he keeps growing. You're just growing like fire. You've only been here 3 or 4 weeks, and you are the best Christian of the bunch. And but what's happening? Now, is he growing grace? No, he's aging. For this is no good unless it helps this and this and this and this. For that's the purpose of this. The Bible is to feed the person so he can grow in every area. Let's suppose, for example, this is the size of me, and so I grow, and it just goes to my right arm and not to my left. And then I eat some more, and it goes to that arm. I eat some more, that one. I still got a little arm over here, and this one just keeps on growing, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so when I clap my hands, I have to, like that. You see, you become perverted. That, listen, Chicago is full of Christians who think they're good Christians. They're not worth a plugged nickel because this is what they've done right here. They are not the mature. Thank you, fellows. They're not the mature Christian. Now, what's happened is this. It could have been prayer life. It could have been soul winning. Any one of these. Now, God wants the Christian to be complete and mature in his Christian life. And that's this one word we have used in my ministry here more than any other word. And that is the perfect, perfect, complete, mature, well-rounded. The perfect Christian, the complete Christian, the mature Christian, the well-rounded Christian. I want you folks to know the Bible. Preachers all across the country. Do you know the reputation across the country is that my preaching is shallow? I know that a deep theologian like me, it's hard for you to realize that. But did you know that people get the idea? Well, they just dip them and drop them there at First Baptist Church. And one reason is because we put the jelly on the bottom shelf where you can reach it and put orange juice in the castor oil so it won't taste so bad. You learn the Bible and don't know it much. But what's happened? These preachers come from all over the country and they stay in your homes. And I've had preachers say, I learned more Bible from your layman than I learned in seminary. Remember this little Mrs. McPherson used to live up here on May Street. I used to see her as I drive by. She's always out working in the yard. And in the good weather, that means 2 days a year in the summer. But anyway, some preachers came from out west, and they stayed in her home. And one fellow said, I learned more prophecy. I learned more about the Word of God staying in her home a week than I learned in college and seminary. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying the reason I want to teach you the Bible is so it's not so you can just keep growing in Bible study. But I want you to be the complete Christian, the well-rounded Christian, the mature Christian. I want our folks to know how to pray. I want our folks to know the Bible. I want our folks to know how to witness. I want our folks to be loyal. I want our folks to have the Christian graces, love and kindness and the fruit of the Spirit. I want our people to be faithful to church. I want our folks to have give a reason for the hope that's within them. I want you to be the well-rounded, mature Christian. Now, what happens is this. You grow, and you grow until you age, and you can grow too much. You can grow too much. And when you grow too much, did you ever hear about second childhood? How many ever saw somebody who said, I believe he's in his second childhood or she's in her second childhood? Would you raise your hand, please? Well, you know what happened? She quit growing and started aging. And did you know Christians the same way? As you grow in grace, you reach a certain point where your growth becomes aging and you go back where you started and you're in your spiritual second childhood again. And you're not growing, you've outgrown. And aged, instead of growing, and you're back in your second childhood. I'll say a word about that for a while. You're getting gray hair. Now, each writer takes a different route in his writings. Paul, Peter, John, others, each takes a different route. But it's a strange thing. Every writer in the Bible is headed toward the same direction in his writings. And in every book of the New Testament, though John writes in one way, Peter writes in another, Paul writes in another, every one of the New Testament writers have as the goal of making the people perfect people, complete people, mature Christians. Let me give you an example. The writer of Hebrews said, and I'll ask you not to use your Bibles now, but after a while I want you to use them. In Hebrews 6:1, the writer of Hebrews said, let us go on to perfection. Now, bear in mind, the word perfection means completeness or spiritual maturity, not without sin. Hebrews 13:21, God make you perfect. So the book of Hebrews was written that the Christians might be well-rounded, mature, complete Christians. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That means that Jesus admonished us to be well-rounded, mature Christians. Peter, in 1 Peter 5:10, says, make you perfect or complete. James, in James 1:4, says, that ye may be perfect. Paul, he wrote to the Romans, and he said, perfect will of God. He wrote to the Corinthian people in 1 Corinthians 2:6 and said, among them that are perfect. In Galatians, he told the Galatian people, Galatians 3:3, made perfect. In Ephesians 4:13, he said, come to the perfect man. In Philippians 3:16, as many as be perfect, he said. In Colossians 1:28, every man perfect in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 3:10, he says, might perfect that which is lacking. Now, he wrote to the Roman people, Corinthian people, Galatian people, Ephesian people, Philippian people, Colossian people, and Thessalonian people. He wrote to, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, seven churches to whom he wrote. And to every church, he said, I want you to be perfect. Now, what do I want for you? Listen, I want you young folks, for example. I want you to be mature Christians. I don't want you tilted. Thank God for the soul winning band, but also thank God for the prayer band. And thank God for the prayer band, but thank God for Sunday school. And thank God for Sunday school, but thank God for the midweek service. Thank God you're zealous, but thank God you boys wear ties and short hair.
Thank God you're zealous and soul winners, but thank God you girls know how to dress modestly and don't wear the miniskirts, God, those of you that have enough sense not to wear them. Thank God for the... I want you to be well-rounded, kids. I don't want you going out passing out tracts and saying, I just love the Lord. No, I want you to say that, but I want you to say graciously and kindly and courteously, dress properly, I love the Lord. I want you adults to be well-rounded people, mature people. I don't want you just studying the Bible, and that's all, or just praying, and that's all, or just witnessing, and that's all, or just coming to church, and that's all, or just being sweet, and that's all, or just being honest, and that's all. I want you, as Paul said to each of the seven churches, and as Jesus said to his people, and as the writer of the Hebrews said to his people, that you may be perfect people, complete people, mature people, well-grown people, well-rounded people, appropriate people. That's what I want you to be. Did you know, Paul wrote to young Timothy and said that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or throughly furnished with all good works? The man of God ought to be a perfect, a complete person. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Apostle Paul tells the church at Ephesus that he has given evangelists, pastors and teachers, apostles and prophets and so forth, and he says, for the perfecting of the saints. God has given me and these brethren to you that you may be perfect, mature, complete. And that's what I want more than anything else in this world. I go to Tennessee Temple College. I was there last week and preached. And I rejoice. One fellow said, your kids are the best soul winners on this campus. At the same time, I picked up a newspaper and found that of the 19 students that made Who's Who, two of them were our own kids from First Baptist Church. And that's the way it ought to be. The best grades should be made by First Baptist Church kids. The best soul winners should be First Baptist Church kids. Those courteous kids ought to be First Baptist Church kids. Why? Because we work to make you complete. I rejoice. Let's take our high school, for example. I rejoice in the basketball team. They lost some heartbreakers the last two games by 2 points Friday night and 2 points Saturday morning. But the basketball boys, most all those boys are back here after a game on Saturday. They're back here to go soul winning on Saturday night. And they're just as interested in the soul winning as they are the basketball team. And yet, they'll go on a choir trip and be just as interested in the choir trip as they are the soul winning or the basketball team. You see? You've all seen these Wilt Chamberlains and Lou Alcinders, these big goons that are worth nothing but the stuff done. Don't you tell them I said that. But by the way, I saw Lou Alcinder the other day. He and I were at the airport, and as he walked down, he looked and said, that's Jack Hiles. But anyway, or was it the other way? I'm not for sure. But anyway, I saw him at the airport. But now, I don't want you to be that. I don't want you just to be athletic. I want you to put athletics in their place. And I want you to put spiritual growth in its place. And I want you to put the graces in their place, you see, and be well-rounded, mature Christians. And that's what we're here for, to help you to be well-rounded and mature. Now then, quickly. No, not quickly. Immediately. I want you to notice some signs of babyhood. Now, there are three types of people in this room tonight. One, babies in Christ. Two, mature Christians. And three, aging Christians. Now, if you're a baby, I want you to grow up. If you're aging, I want you to grow back. Grow down. You've grown too much. You become perverted. All right, let's look at the babies. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, and I want you, everybody, to get your Bibles. Every young, for sure, everybody, get your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. I've got my boy David's Bible tonight, and I can't find a thing in it. There's one that says, Dear Barbara, I love you very much. No, that's not Barbara. Who is that? Here's one that says, Dear Dad, I hate your insides, too. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Now follow me carefully. Page 1214, your Scofield Bible. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Okay, now these are babies. Let's see what made them babies. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So these are babies. Now, well, how did he know they're babies? Verse 3 answers it. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? All right? Are you a babe in Christ? I'll tell you right now. If you have envy in your heart, if you have malice in your heart, if you have divisions, I won't speak to her. I don't like Brother Colston. I don't care about that new fellow, BB. I wish Fisk had stayed in San Jose. I'll tell you, Billings, if he just would grow up. I thought about that fiddle a while ago, that big thing. There's hope for you. That was a guitar when I came here 11 years ago. I like Billings' class best. I wouldn't go here, Fisk. That southern drawl. Somebody said, but I like Fisk best. I don't like PhDs. By the way, I don't either. Except in one case. But I don't like. And before you know it, there are divisions and strife. And in the church at Corinth, they had four groups. They had what they called the Cephasites. They liked Peter best. They had the Apollosites. They liked Apollos best. They had the Paulites. They liked Paul best. They had the Jesusites. They didn't like Apollos, Paul, or Peter. And one sat here, one sat here, one sat here, one sat here. And the Apollosites, they wouldn't cooperate with the Cephasites. The Cephasites wouldn't cooperate with the Apollosites, Cephasites, Paulites. And the Paulites wouldn't cooperate with the Cephasites. And the Jesusites wouldn't cooperate with anybody. And they had division. That's one way to know if you're a baby. You don't get along. You hold bitterness in your heart. You won't speak to somebody. You have ill will toward somebody. You gossip. You criticize. Always finding fault. Then you need to grow up. Well, let's see what else makes you a baby or proves that you're a baby. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Everybody turning, teenagers, children, everybody. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. That would be on page 1295. 1295. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. How can you tell if you're a baby in Christ, not mature? One, if you have bitterness in your heart, divisions. Two, if you're not teaching. Yeah. If you're not teaching. It says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. You're babes. There are people all over this house. You have learned enough. It's time you taught. I mean, it's time you gave out what you take in. It's time you quit sitting and taking and taking and taking and taking. It's time you gave out something. And if you're not yet teaching someone, then the Bible says you're not mature yet. Turn to James chapter 3. That's the next book after Hebrews. James chapter 3. It's amazing how many times the word perfect is used in the Bible. James chapter 3 and verse 2. Page 1308, James 3, 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That means a complete man. Offend not in what? Word? So it means that if you don't watch your tongue, you're not perfect. You're a baby. You're not mature. You're not grown up. Be careful what you say. Be careful about gossip. Be careful about criticism. Be careful about cursing. Be careful about telling dirty jokes. Be careful about slander. Be careful about idle talk. Be careful. Be careful. Listen, girls, you listen to me over here. Listen. You sit still and watch me while I'm preaching. Now, I've said it enough. Now, you listen to me, and you look at me. Girl on the end, you look at me, and you keep looking at me. Don't you look down, you look at me. The Bible says a person who has not yet learned to control his tongue. That means talking in church, too. That means criticism. That means gossip. That means going home and saying, I don't think the preacher ought to call down the teenagers like that. You may as well bark at the moon. You'll get more done Because your kind or no kind like you is going to tell me what to say to a crowd when they're misbehaving. Now, you just may as well now put that in your pipe and smoke it, or put it in your cigar and puff it. We're going to have decency and behavior in this church, or get you some little sissy preacher that'll jump when you say jump and ask you how high, ma'am. Now, the honest truth is, if we're going to make folks mature, they've got to hear what we have to say. All right, let's go further. Are you a babe in Christ if you're not teaching? If you're divisions, if you're not watching your tongue. Now then, there's another way you can tell if you're a baby, and that is if you are moved easily from the truth. Turn to a very important scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. Now this is a tremendous scripture. I want you to follow very carefully, page 1253. Now, I'm trying to get you to grow up, and I'm telling you what the symptoms of babyhood and spiritual infancy are. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, that's it, the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying, that's the building up, of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect. Notice how often that word perfect is used in the Bible. To a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now follow me. That we henceforth be no more children. Now, what are children like? Look at it. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, listen carefully to me. When a person gets saved at First Baptist Church, and I could tell you a dozen people, call them off just like that tonight. When a person gets saved at First Baptist Church and really wants to become a good Christian, there are people with their false teachings lurking in the shadows that want to come out quickly and steal you and take you back to their little study group, because they can't build anything on their own. They have to parasite and proselyte off our soul winning. So what they do? They look out and they see a fellow that got saved at First Baptist. I could call name after name after name, and some are right here tonight. And the fellow gets saved. He grows in grace. And these fellows looking in the shadows with their false teaching and false doctrine, they look and they see a fellow growing grace, and they tiptoe out and they try to they tiptoe out and they get him and pull him back to darkness and say, you could be a blessing to our group. You could be a leader in our group. I mean, after all, we got some deep truths that you don't know about. We're having a meeting up in the attic of a barn in a hayloft. And we've got some revelation just came through that Hiles doesn't know about. Well, bless your heart, if it's in this book, Hiles knows about it. If it's not in this book, you don't need it. And so, they pull you off, and you become non-productive. You never get anybody saved. That little crowd never grows. I'm thinking now of one of the finest young men in this church. I mean a good guy. Fine fella. Went off to college. Got mixed up in some cult in college. Tongues group. So, hiding behind deeper life. Brother, if it's deeper life, that means the Holy Spirit's in it. If the Holy Spirit's in it, that means soul winning is in it. If soul winning is in it, that means it's on the move. You be careful. These people trotting around Hammond with their little record players trying to talk to you about Judge Rutherford and the kingdom. Jesus came in 1917. And won't teach you something deeper. They are false teachers, and if you are not careful as a babe in Christ, you'll be led away. You'd better just follow this same advice right here, and that is, you better stick in the maternity ward where you got born. Because we're not trying to teach you something that just came through. You know, just had a revelation. Fell down in Texas, came to me one day, and he said, you know what? He said, Brother Hiles, he said, I just got a revelation from heaven. I've been alone with the Lord 40 days. It just came through. I said, what is it? He said, God has given me the mysterious, miraculous ability to speak and pray, and all your cavities will be filled. I didn't say to him, but he had a cavity started right here and ended back here. You ought to start doing that one. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Grow up! Grow up! Listen! The poorest Christians in this room tonight, the devil's after you to get you off because it's a... Look, hear me carefully. A shortcut to attention is never right. A shortcut to attention is never right. That's one reason when I walk down the street or drive down the street, I never stare at hippies. The entire hippie crowd is a shortcut to attention. And the entire youth left-wing movement is a shortcut to fame. Some little idiot gets on the television, hasn't got enough sense to cut his hair a bathe. And all of a sudden, some stupid networks interview the guy, and he tells what's wrong with America and how to cure it. Brother, I don't want to stand on a platform unless it is solidly built under me. The shortcut. I've known young preachers to get to be called to preach, and because they had a gift of gab and a good personality, to get invited to go out and preach revivals. And before they knew it, they went out too much. And they did not build carefully their ministry, line upon line, precept upon precept, brick upon brick, foundation on foundation. And because they didn't, they went too far too fast, and they did not have a good enough foundation, and soon the house crumbled. Now you watch it. You watch it. I have been in this business a long time. You will do a lot worse. In fact, you won't do better than to invest your life around the local New Testament church. But it's so easy for babies to get led away by every sleight of hand. There's another way that you can tell if you're a baby, and that is selfishness. Selfishness. A baby says, "It's mine. Go over to the nursery sometime." I walked by the nursery the other day, looked in, one little boy said, "Mine!" Another boy grabbed it and said, "Mine!" And I wanted to walk in there and take it myself and say, "I'm pastor of this church, it's mine." Do you tithe? If you don't, you're a babe. Do you give God a dime of every dollar you make? If you don't, you're a baby. Does God get the 10%? You're a baby. Selfish. What a tragedy. How could anybody, blessed by God, live in America in 1971? How could anybody be so selfish as to not give God a dime out of every dollar God has given you? Let's go quickly to the maturity. How can you get mature? Okay, you say, "Preacher, I'm a baby. How can I grow up?" I'm glad you asked that. Turn to Colossians 1:28. Colossians 1:28. Everybody turning. Teenagers, children, adults, everybody. It's a good way to stay awake. Colossians 1:28. Page 1263 in your Scofield Bible. "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Hold it. Whom we preach. Now, what did Paul preach? Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? So they might present all men perfect or complete. How can you get perfect? Hear preaching that warns and teaches. That's where you grow up. First, be sure you're always in preaching. Look, if you'll sit still tonight and listen tonight to what I've said, you'll grow some in grace. You just will. What? Preaching! Look, I don't care who does it, drama, movies, plays, skits, bull sessions, family Sunday evening clubs, and evening supper clubs will not get the job done. It pleased God by preaching to build Christians and perfect the saints. I mean preaching. Listen, the churches that are closed tonight in Hammond are closed for one reason and one reason only. There's no man of God who preaches behind the pulpit. Anywhere you find a church where folks are growing in grace, it's because of preaching. Some of the fine churches in America have been cutting out their morning preaching services, just having Sunday schools. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, are you going to go into that? I said, no, sir. If we make any changes, we'll add time, not subtract time, the First Baptist Church of Hammond. If we make any changes whatsoever, we're going to preach longer and not shorter. I get paid for the hour. I need the money. Preach! 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 That's what built Raider Tabernacle. That's what built Moody Church. That's what built A.B. Simpson's Tabernacle in New York City. That's what built the Cato Tabernacle in Indianapolis. That's what built this nation. Preaching! If you want to grow in grace, you be here to hear the sermons. Preaching. How can you grow in grace and grow up? Number two, don't be satisfied with your present growth. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I don't know how David reads this Bible. It is a mess. Marked up. Philippians chapter 3, I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Brethren, this is Paul speaking, I count not myself to have apprehended, for this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now follow me. Let us therefore as many as be, there's that word again, perfect, mature, be thus minded. What does it mean? It means if you're going to be perfect, grow in grace, you've got to be dissatisfied with the way you are now. Follow me. Dr. Billings hasn't always been this muscle bound. One day he looked in the mirror, and he was stripped from the waist up. And he did like this. And it looked like an olive here on his arm. And Billings said, fella, you are in sad shape. He was reading a Playboy magazine and saw Charles Atlas advertised on the back. Now, I don't know that it is, but the Fist told me that advertisement was on the back. But he's reading, and so he said, I'm going to take a Charles Atlas course. The first thing he had to do was look in the mirror and see what kind of shape he's in. Now then, a Christian says, I'm pretty good. I'm as good as average Christian. You will not mature. You'll be a babe the rest of your life. You've got to stop and say, I'm not apprehended. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived apart from our Savior, said, I have not apprehended. I've got some more growing to do. So, first thing, preaching. Second thing, you've got to realize and not be satisfied with your size as you are now. Number three, do the will of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. Use your Bible. Make the pages rattle very loudly as you turn them. Page 1305. Hebrews 13, verse 21. Look at it. Make you, there's that word again, perfect, complete, mature. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Now, the two things there you got to do to be perfect. First, you got to work, and the second thing, do His will. You want to grow in grace? Get busy. You want to grow in grace? Teach a class. You want to grow in grace? Get a bus route. You want to grow in grace? Do something. Look, Billings did not get muscle bound by just looking at that skinny fella in the mirror. He did something about it. He got him some barbells, and he started doing this. He started doing push-ups like this. He did something. Exercise. If you want to grow, you've got to have to exercise, and you're going to have to be obedient to do the will of God. And then, of course, time is going, but I want to just say this, and I wish I had time to go into more scriptures, but I won't. And that is, stay in the Word. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. That's on page 1281. 1281. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Very familiar passage. 1281. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, there's that word again, perfect, mature, complete, grown up, well-rounded, How? The Word of God. You want to grow up? Hear preaching. Want to grow up? Don't be satisfied with what you are now. Want to grow up? Do His will. Want to grow up? Stay in His Word. Want to grow up? Tithe. Want to grow up? Don't depart from the truth. Want to grow up? Be careful about your tongue. Want to grow up? Start teaching. Want to grow up? Don't criticize. Don't have divisions. Now then, quickly, and I say that to encourage you a little, let's look at the gray hairs for a minute. Now that we've seen two groups of Christians, one, the babies, many of your babies, others mature. They keep growing in every phase of the Christian life. But then there are those that grow so much they become aged instead of grown. Over maturity, I call it. Old age. Hosea said, there are gray hairs here and there. He looked at the Israelites and said, here and there, I see a gray hair cropping up. Now, I see some gray hairs in people here tonight. Some gray hairs. I'm not talking about your silver threads among the gold. Girls, I'm talking about gray hairs spiritually. Would you like to know what makes you age? I don't have time to go into it. But over in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I was going to take time, but I won't. It speaks about the signs of old age. It says that the keepers of the house shall tremble. That's the hands. That's a sign of old age. It says that the window shall be darkened. That's the glasses. It says the grinders shall cease because they're few. That's when your teeth are like the stars. They come out at night, you see. It says when you shall rise up and can't sleep at night, you're getting old. It says you'll be afraid of places that are high. The other day, you know when I was a paratrooper, in World War II, I was a paratrooper. I jumped out of airplanes. Didn't bother me. Really, I mean, I got to where I didn't bother a great deal. I used to go down and get on the Lightning, used to call it, roller coaster, Atlanta, Georgia, near Fort Benning, where I trained. And I'd just ride that thing 15, 20 times. I went to Atlanta and got in an airplane and said to the fella, give me every stunt you've got. He turned flip-flops, he did nose dives, he did everything. And I said, I want excitement. Now then, I'm 44. The other day, I was at a house on Southside. I was visiting around upstairs apartment in the back. And I went up one of those rickety stairways. And I got to the top and I looked down and I began to tremble. I said, good night, just one little bar between me and that ground down there. And I held on. You wonder why? It's that 44 versus that 19 I used to be. High places. Let me give you some signs of graying hairs. Vision bad. Vision bad.
Well, this spring program is just too spectacular. I just think we ought to settle down and teach what we've got.
Look out. You've got some gray hairs here and there. You lost your vision. Can't see very well anymore. I'm at the place now to where you say, read this, and I have to say, wait a minute. I got to go get my glasses. I never thought I'd be that way. I thought that's for old people. And now people young, like I am, have a hard time seeing. How about your spiritual vision?
I just don't think this church is like it used to be.
You know what the trouble is? You got some gray hairs here and there. By the way, you're not like you used to be either. One lady, when I came here, she was rather attractive. Slim and trim. Now she waddles when she walks. She has a few gold threads among the silver. She walked up the other day and she said, you sure have changed since you've been here. And I said, what is your name? I can't recognize you. She said, you know me. Oh, I said, you've changed so much. I just didn't know. You see, we're not the only ones that change. You change too. Lady came to me one time when I first came here. She said, I just don't like you. And I said, you're not one of my favorite people either. You know, this thing does swing both ways. Now, how's your vision? Here's some more folks, some more gray hairs. Easily upset. Easily upset. you find it a little easier to get upset? Do you find that after you've had your grandchildren about 2 hours, you're ready to take them back home again? Anybody have symptoms like that? And do you always, when you take them back home, you get in the car and say, phew, babies are for the young? You're easily upset. Have you noticed that your wife or your husband is harder to get along with than you used to be? Do you get upset easily? You've got a gray hair here and there. You're aging and not growing. Solomon said that you rise at the voice of a bird. When you were young, a train could have come through your living room. Linda Hiles, who sleeps in the house where I sleep, a tornado could be in the living room. A plane could crash in David's room. A train could come down the hall. And she could sleep. If a woodpecker pecks outside the window, I wake up. You know why? There's a few years difference. A few years difference. How about you? Are you usually upset? You peeved at somebody tonight in the church? You got gray hairs here and there. You see, the longer we're with each other, the more we know each other. And the more bad we know about each other. And the more we upset each other, the more gray hairs we have. Do you have a few gray hairs tonight? Are you upset at somebody? You thought the church was perfect when you came, didn't you? You thought Brother Hiles never made a mistake, didn't you? You thought the church, were made of a bunch of sanctified people. I've got news for you. This church is composed of the same type of people that the sorry churches are composed of, except you just get it between the eyes more than they do. You forgive me for saying this, but if God gave you some preachers in this church that just gave you a syrupy kind of greasy, oily sermons all the time, you forgive me for saying this, but this church could go down like any other church. I'm not saying I'm the cause, but I'm saying I help a little bit along the way. Yeah. Why? Because I preach to you and say, watch out! Don't get upset easily. Do you get a little easily angered? Then you've got a few gray hairs here and there. Something else about Solomon says about old people, and that is they're afraid of high places. They're afraid of high places. Tell you what, just don't think we ought to borrow all this money. How are we going to pay all these debts? Buying all this property? Watch out, I see a few gray hairs. Afraid of high places. We'll just keep going and keep going. It's just getting too big for me. Watch out. I see a gray hair here and there. Afraid of high places. Something else about age that Solomon says. It says that folks are afraid. They're afraid. He talks about the grasshopper is a burden. You recall as kids, we used to go butterfly hunting. Remember that? They have lightning bugs here. I haven't seen a lightning bug since I've been here. We used to go lightning bug hunting. Get us a jar, remember, and get some nails and put holes in the tongue. How many of you ever did that? You know that beats glue sniffing? And so we'd go and we'd get those lightning bugs. Huh? How many of you folks that are 40 years of age or old been lightning bug hunting lately? Did you ever go butterfly hunting? Catch that butterfly and put him between a glass? And now, a butterfly lights on you. Huh? Huh? Did you ever go grasshopper hunting? How many of you have a grasshopper hunting? How many of you have lost your love for grasshoppers? I have.
Would you like me to tell you why? Huh?
You're getting older. You're getting older. A football hits on top of your house. Whoo, what was that?
You boys, get out of that hay yard!
What's the matter? You're getting older. Afraid. Let me ask you a question. Have you gotten a place where you say, I'm afraid, I just can't afford a tie? You got some gray hairs here and there.
I've just got to save up money. After all, we're not getting any younger.
You're afraid. No faith. Some gray hairs are here and there. Something else Solomon says. He says the keepers of the house shall tremble when you get old. What does that mean? You can't serve anymore. You can't serve. You can't serve. You're shaking. You can't serve anymore. Let me say this. Let me ask you this lovingly. Did you know you men and women that are 65 and 70 and 75, you know you still ought to be teaching Sunday school? It bothers me a little bit when the lady gets, or man, gets 65 or 70 or 75. Tell John Rice about that. He still preaches across this country 3 and 4 times a day. And he's 75. I mean, just because you get 70 don't mean you got to be on the shelf. Good night. Stay in the back. Now, if you're sick and can't do it, okay. But how many of you can't teach? We need you. You ought to be teaching.
Say, well, I'm going to turn it over to somebody younger.
No. No. You ought to keep serving, even though the years have come and gone. I went down to Indianapolis the other day to Dr. Ford Porter wrote me and said, Dr. Hiles, would you come preach for me? I wrote back and said, no, I can't. And he called me on the phone and said, Brother Hiles, Dr. Hiles, it's my birthday. We're having a big service at the church, and we're expecting 1,200 people. And he said, of all the preachers in America, I wanted you to come preach on my birthday. Well, I had another engagement, and I canceled it out and went down and preached with Dr. Porter. 78th birthday. Still pastoring. Still traveling across the country. He's lived a long time, but he's not aging. He's grown, but he's not aged. I was up in Canada not long ago. I'd often heard about Oswald Smith. I preached for 2 years consecutive at the conference at a People's Church, and God bless her, last week invited me to come again this August. But I was at People's Church. And I wanted to meet Dr. Oswald Smith. His son Paul is pastor now. And I went in and I expected to see some old man. He's 80 now, you know. In his 80s. Young people. And so I walked in his office, and I expected to say, God bless you in your last hours. I walked in. And a spry-looking fella jumped up and said, Dr. Jack Hiles, I've been wanting to meet you. I said, as soon as my arthritis can let me lift my hand, I'll shake it. I said, how's your health?
Never any better. You still preaching? All across the world.
How many books have you written?
I'm still writing them.
In his 80s. He is grown, mature, but he's not aging. How about you? Unable to serve? I see some gray hairs here and there. Something else about gray age, that is, you get over it. You get used to it.
Oh, you got excited once, but the preacher can't excite you anymore.
I see some gray hairs here and there. Something else. You're too deep to be practical. Watch it. Watch it. When you think you've outgrown a soul-winning church, watch it. There's some gray hairs here and there.
When you get to a place where you're more concerned about predestination and studying a doctrine than you are gathering up those who are predestined,
then there's some gray hairs here and there. When you get to the place, I know preachers all across this country who have grown too much. I'm thinking about a fellow out west right now, one of the finest preachers I knew in America. He grew and he grew and grew a great church and was a mature Christian. And then he got wrapped up in prophecy. And every Sunday morning and Sunday night, he preaches prophecy now. What's happened? He grew too much. Like this said a while ago. He wasn't well-rounded. Watch out, dear friends, if you are wrapped up in any one particular phase of the work for Christ, you better watch out. You're not mature. I see a gray hair here and there. And, as I mentioned, a pet doctrine. It's a second childhood is what it is. If you'll watch very carefully in the Bible, now listen carefully. If you'll check very carefully in the Bible, you'll find the same attributes are associated with being a babe in Christ and having gray hairs. God sees you as the same. Let's see. Howard Paradise, you back there? Howard Paradise, when he was born, he didn't have a hair on his head. Not a one. Wasn't long till a little fuzz began to grow. And he grew a big head of hair. Now he has matured and matured and matured and matured right back to where he started. And that's what happens to Christians all across the country. We have some in this church. You have matured and matured and matured and matured and matured until you're right back where you started. You used to fuss with fellow Christians, and now you're just as cantankerous as you used to be. You've lost your delight in the services. You've lost your thrill about the church. You've lost your thrill about the bus ministry. You've lost your thrill about growing in grace. You've lost your thrill about the souls of men. You've lost your thrill about the preaching. Same preacher, same Bible, same sermons, same illustrations, same building, same songs, same everything. No thrill. What is it? You've grown and grown and grown until you're right back where you were. Listen to me. Faithful workers class. God bless you, you're the sweetest folks in the church, but I want to tell you something you better watch out for. There are two places in the church that will say it's mine first. The youngest babies and the oldest adults. We don't have that trouble here because we have the finest folks, and I mean that. Not even, you go to some churches and try to move the older people, Sunday school class. Listen, you can move a pyramid faster. You know why? Man! 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 So it reminds you of the other end of the pole, doesn't it? What happens? Mature, 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 mature. Mature, and you're right back where you were. For maturity is not like this. It's like this. And when you get mature in the Lord, full grown, well-rounded, complete, perfect, if you please, you're at the top of the circle. But when you reach all that God wants you to have, and then you want something he does not want you to have, you keep on progressing, but you come right back where you were.